Hello, family. I'm Dave, and I'm an addict. It's a good topic for me tonight, and I've been dealing with a lot of life on life's terms lately. You know, when I first got clean, it meant something different than it does to me now. And that's been the nature of this whole program for me. As I grow and change spiritually, what I've heard and what I learn here and what I practice changes as my life changes. You know, when I first heard that term and first practiced it with my sponsor, the main thing I was thinking of was, how do I face the things life's throwing at me without using? How do I face the feelings that I hadn't been handling before? How do I do this without using? Because I never wanted to feel my feelings. I never wanted to experience, you know, the ups and downs that life always brings to us. You know, whenever something happened that I didn't want to deal with, I'd stuff it. That's been my history the whole way through my addiction. As I stayed clean a while, you know, that started to change a little bit. What I started to do was learn how to... Boy, I'm having trouble finding words for this. I'm just going to start afresh. I'm going to tell you what's happening with me right now. You know, for the last 35 years or so, my wife and I have run our family business. We had a restaurant in Punxsutawney. My grandfather built it years and years ago, 1923. And my parents ran it. When my wife and I started dating, she started working there. I worked there since I was a little kid. It was part of the center of our lives. And, well, as a matter of fact, she worked there for 37 years. And in November, there was a fire, and the place burned down. And, you know, that I had a lot of emotion that night. Well, I was ripped up and down, lifted like on a roller coaster, because it was just a small fire. I had just closed up and checked everything out, like I did every night, hands on every piece of equipment, checked every door, every window, everything was fine. My mom still lived in a little apartment above there where I grew up. I left at 10:45 that evening after coming from the Blairsville meeting on Sunday night. I came home, I did the close up, said goodnight to my mom, who had a caretaker because she's 87 and had a stroke. And I went across the street to my other business and worked for about an hour, and I left there at 11:45. And the last thing I did, like I always did, I looked across the street, and everything was fine, because fire is a constant worry in a restaurant. And I went upstairs, and I ate a pear, and I read the front page of the Pittsburgh paper, and I went to the bathroom to brush my teeth and looked out, and the place was burning down. 15 minutes. And the caretaker had gotten my mother out with a curler on her head and her nightgown. It was a small fire in a storage room in the back, and I ran over, and four people had already called 911, but I'm standing there thinking, you know, they'll put water on this, I'll call ServPro, it'll be like it never happened. You know, it's not too bad. It was a big restaurant. We seated 400 and some. And they didn't put any water on it, I didn't find out until 2 weeks ago that the fire hydrants wouldn't work. But I wondered why for 40 minutes they weren't putting water on this. Then it started poking out the windows and the eaves, and I thought, well, they're getting water on it now. It'll be, you know, a little messier, but we'll get it back together here, you know, with a lot of cleanup. So I felt a little better, and then started coming out farther up the building, and I thought, I don't think they're gonna save it. So I'm, again. And then they get water on it. This went on. Finally, at 6 in the morning, I gave up. My sponsor drove 30 miles and came up behind me and gave me a hug and stood there and watched me, you know, watched it with me. And there was a lot of emotion. But the next night, after being awake for 48 hours now, or 36, I guess, straight, my sponsor came down and brought me a coffee pot. And we're sitting talking, and I said, you know, I went through a litany of the things I had gone through in the last 24 months, which included getting sucked into somebody else's bankruptcy and having an accident, major surgery, and having to use narcotic pain relievers, and this happening. There were a whole list of things. I said, And here I sit, full of peace and serenity. What the hell's up with that? And he just smiled and said, it's beautiful, isn't it? And I said, yeah, it is. Because I really did have peace. I had peace, even though, you know, we suffered, we lost everything we had and had worked for. We still had our home. My mother got out. You know, there's always ways to look at adversity. But still, I sat there with peace. Yeah, I had felt the feelings. I had hurt. But I had peace in my heart. And that's a result of practicing the spiritual principles that are in this program. That's how I've learned to live life on life's terms. So, you know, backing up, you know, to what I started to talk about. My immediate need for living life on life's terms when I got here was not using. That's as far as I can see. Because I knew from experience what happens when I pick up the first one I use. I know what happens. I've done it. I've been around for a while. I had clean time. You know, I fell under the illusion that maybe if I took a drug, I'd feel better. I know what happens when I do that. And it's not pleasant. It hurts really bad. And it doesn't just hurt me. But as I, you know, got some clean time under my belt, what it says in our literature was true for me. You know, our literature, our book says that any addict can stop using, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. And as I worked through that, I had that desire to use taken away from me. So now this life on life's terms changed. You know, how do I live life on life's terms? It was about applying the spiritual principles that are in our 12 steps into everything that happens in my life. And I had never done that before. You know, my only spiritual principle was a negative one. It was self-centeredness. I wanted what I wanted. I knew what was best for me, and I was going to make it go that way no matter what. And I found out the hard way that I don't have the foggiest idea what's best for me. I don't even know what's good for me. You know, the stuff that I try to do on my own always turns to crap. So when this fire happened and these other adversities, I'm just using that one, you know, this fire as an example of, you know, life on life's terms. You know, I got a lot of condolences, you know, we're sorry, and I accepted that, but I didn't accept that it was a bad thing. I wouldn't accept that what had happened was good or bad. It just was. It was just what happened. That's what happened. And I had to apply the spiritual principle of trust. You know, I trust that the God of my understanding wants what's best for me, and that what he wants for me isn't just good or better, but it's best. You know, having that family business was a good thing. You know, I've had a lot of good things in my life. I've had to put down a lot of good things for something better, because there's only so much time that we're given, there's only so much energy, there's only, you know, so much that I can do, and I've had to put some good things away and let them go to take something better. And then I've had to take some of those better things and let them go to accept what was best in my life. And what was best in my life is whatever God wants me to do. And this restaurant was a good thing. You know, everybody liked it, the family. It was the hub for not just my immediate family, but my extended family, my brothers, sisters, cousins, nieces, nephews, you know. For 90 years, you know, it's kind of been a center. No matter where everybody moved, we came back to. But it wasn't the best thing for me. You know, we're in the process now of rebuilding that place. And we're not rebuilding, we're rebuilding the building. But we're not rebuilding what it was. You know, it's been 6 months. We've talked a lot. We prayed a lot. We thought a lot about it. And what we came up with, and by we, I mean, you know, my recovery family and my blood family, my wife and I, my son, my sponsor. My sponsor and I got together in January. And went out to dinner, and we talked for hours about this. Well, he went first, and he talked about, you know, what he needed to talk about. And then I talked about, you know, what was going on with me. And we came up with three spiritual principles that I can practice in rebuilding and going back to this building. You know, if it was just a financial decision, it was easy. You know, we had to rebuild, but it wasn't just that. we decided that if we focus on the three spiritual principles of freedom, happiness, and servitude, service as we call it, then whatever it turns out to be is going to be the best thing. If we can, if we're happy doing what we're doing, if we have the freedom to do, to go and do what we needed to do because we were tied to this place and had no freedom, and if we can still be of service to people, if we can still help people, which is what we try to do there, then whatever God decides this thing wants to be is going to be the best thing for us. So all we have to do is draw out how we want the building built and give it to the contractors and architects and stuff and turn them loose. And whatever's going to be there, and I can't tell you what it's going to be right now. My wife said, how about pizza and pawn? Because we had we were at an Italian restaurant, and everybody, still to this day, I can't go downtown. When are you going to rebuild? We miss your pizza. We miss your lasagna, whatever. And I'm a rare coin dealer, so I'm kind of like, you know, a lot of people come in and want to pawn stuff. I'm not a pawn store, and she loves, like, Pawn Stars on TV and all that stuff. So I said, well, you know, we can do something like that. But our plans are living life on life's terms by whatever God wants us to do when this thing gets done. And it'll reveal itself to us, which I think is pretty neat. What that's done for me is it's taken this huge load off my shoulders, because one of the things that happens to me is I get full of fear and anxiety. And I think I have to decide what I need to do with my life and which way it's going to go, and that's going to be the best for me. And I really don't know what that is. I have no idea what that is, but God does. And all I need to do is stay out of His way, surrender, you know, accept whatever happens during the day, as long as I'm doing the best I can to practice these principles that He's given us, then whatever is going to come out is going to be the best for me. So trust, faith, I have faith that it's going to be the best. Hope, even, you know, watching that place burn down, you know, I had hope. It's just a building, you know, and it's not, you know, in some ways I looked at that as one of my biggest stumbling blocks in life, being removed and my slate wiped clean and we can start over again. I haven't been able to travel with my wife even for vacation for over 15 years. Well, I think actually the first year I got clean, we went to the beach for a week to get just to get away. That was, I think, 2001. But that restaurant had, you know, someone had to be there so it didn't burn down. You know, somebody had to be there to make sure everything was turned off, close up, do all that. This year we went to New Zealand in February. I met a friend in recovery online about 6 years ago from Dunedin, New Zealand, and she showed up here. We met at a convention in Charlotte. She showed up in Punxsutawney 5 years ago. And I told her, Margaret, someday I'm going to pay you back. I'm going to show up at your door in Dunedin on the South Island. And she said, right, David, you're going to come 17,000 miles. I said, we will, and we did. I found that this family of Narcotics Anonymous is worldwide. I went to meetings all over down there. It felt just like walking in here, except for the accent. Their accents are, I mean, I understand Australian accent, but New Zealand's something else. You really got to pay attention. They use, their letter E is always long. Like, yes, is yeast. Yeast, thank you. Yeast, it'd be to our benefit to trim our hedges tomorrow because it's going to rain next week. And I really had a hard time listening. They don't serve coffee, they serve tea. You know, we have tea down there, which is kind of cool too. But we got to go to New Zealand. We got to spend 3 weeks together. And we practiced that, life on life's terms. I was frightened to go. I was scared to death to go. First off, you know, I have health problems. The flight is 30 hours. They drive on the left, you know, down there. I was scared. I was scared to go. And we decided to do it on the spiritual principles that we apply to live life on life's terms. We made no plans. We booked a flight. We had to rent a car in Auckland. We got in the car and went, God, which way do you want us to go? We'd come to an intersection. You feel we should go left or right? I feel left. I said, I do too. You know, and this vacation could not have been with unlimited funds and the best of intentions, any better. This journey was a journey of a lifetime. I'll never forget it. There couldn't have been anything that was any better about it. We were in Christchurch on February 22nd when that 6.7 magnitude earthquake hit and the city fell around us. And had we not stopped to buy my grandson's a T-shirt and chocolate and a little roadside stand in the mountains, we would have been sitting in a restaurant down there. Timing was perfect for everything that we did. I got to meet new friends. I got to meet Margaret, and her mother and father took us all over the place, and it was so awesome. Part of life on life's terms for me. You know, it's not like it used to be when I got here. How do I deal with the adversities? How do I deal with the good stuff, too? How do I allow life's good things to come into my life, too? Not just how do I deal with death and divorce and fires and bankruptcies and all this, but how do I deal with the good stuff? You know, if I would have made plans and stuck to it going to New Zealand, we wouldn't have done anywhere near what we did or been where we were supposed to be when we were supposed to be there. And everything was perfect with that. I'm saying too much. I had no preparation for this. I just kind of, you know, walked into it. What I'm trying to do now, you know, I'm not that old, but from the position I'm in life now, I see our mortality, I guess. I see how little time we really have left, how little time we have in general. Time is going by so much faster. You know, my mom would tell me that. My dad would tell me that. You wait till you get older, watch how fast time goes. I remember even going to school thinking, boy, it's been a whole week, Dad, since this happened. He said, when you get older, you'll see it go by quicker. And I see it going by quicker now. I'm starting to learn what in life is really valuable and what really counts. You know, and it's a cliche to say, you know, the material stuff doesn't count. Everything can be replaced. It's only people. But what I'm finding is relationships. I won't just say people. I'll say relationships is what life's terms are for me right now. Not just my relationship with people I love, but the relationship with people I meet and I haven't even met yet, and also the relationship I have with my higher power, with God. As long as I can stay out of the way, keep my greasy little mitts off my own life, because that is what has always caused me the difficulty, then I'll get the best that life has to offer me, always. No matter if it hurts or it doesn't, because it's going to hurt me sometimes. It does hurt. What has gotten me through those times of adversity and pain has been you guys. You know, I'm not alone anymore. I'm not alone at all. I've got you. I never have to be alone again. Another thing NA stands for, you know, not just Narcotics Anonymous, but never alone, never again. I don't have to be. You know, that night I was standing there in the cold watching that burn and felt those arms come around me from behind. I mean, that guy drove 30 miles each way. He had to be up at 6:30 in the morning and work. And he ran the last mile because the roads were all blocked from fire trucks and hoses and stuff. And he was there to comfort me. That meant something. You know, that's what our fellowship's about. We're there for each other. You know, we're always there for each other no matter what. And this is one of the good times, you know, when we get together like this. I thank you for asking me to speak, committee, and I think I'm done.
It'll just be a minute. We're waiting on our sound guy. I knew he wasn't down here.